Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by the legends at Dyson Logistics and coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. We are fueled by LGB supplements, get our grass cut by Endeavour Property Services, and drink down that Shark Island Brewing Company beer with abandon. I am one half of the podcast, Sharks fanatic Newman. And I'm joined as I am, well, not every week. It's been a bit, there's been a bit happening, but we are back on deck, hopefully charging towards a premiership in 2018 with my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter, man with a sore throat, Sam Shenazzy.
Hey, how you doing, Adam? Good to see you. I am sick, sorry, sad, but standing on 2 feet in this march to glory that is the 2018 premiership. A little bit hesitant, a little bit worried, but we'll get to that. Good to see you.
Now, the official records will read that the Sharks were disappointingly dealt a blow by the Sydney Roosters, 21 points to 12. But before we get into that, Sam and I have been toing and froing about the best way to deal with this. There's been absences. There's been things happening online. I would like to address it. Sam, it's fair to say you're not as keen to make it public knowledge, but some things happened and around the club, in and around the club. I did some things. I sent a nasty email to a key external stakeholder, and as a result, I was suspended from the live commentary team by the Sharks media team, and I took issue with that. In that, I have always felt that what I do on my private time is my private time, and that's caused an enormous flow on of angst and resentment between me and the club. It's also caused significant strain between me and Sam. We're hopeful we can move on from that, and that's probably where we'll leave it at this time. If you want to catch up and have a beer, I'm happy to tell you about it more personally. But that's the end, unfortunately, of Sharkcast TV, and it's the end of me doing any of the live commentary stuff. And that's an unfortunate end to what was a relationship that was difficult to manage, but I thought fairly fruitful over the years.
You never say never, Adam.
Yeah, the way I feel at the moment, I won't be going back, Sam, but that's true. But leaving that aside, we're here to talk about football. And a big game. It was a big game on Saturday night. Unfortunately, I wasn't there. Were you there, Sam?
Unfortunately, I was, and I say that for many different reasons, but I thought the team played, and hear me out, extraordinarily well. And it's not often you can say a bomb try or two actually cost you the game, because we all know there's lots of things that happens during the game. In this game, three tries, I'm going to say even two, cost them the game.
100%.
They played good, man.
Yeah, and it broke my heart to see my boy Luke Lewis in a play that, you know, and ordinarily he would have eaten up. And you get the feeling that if he manages to get that ball down and they kick the goal, we would have had momentum going towards the final part. That would have evened the scores up. And you get the feeling that we could have gone on with the job. But it wasn't just Luke Lewis. Ricky Latelli, he passed the ball to Sisaia Fekie. God knows why. Fekie can't handle it, and Latelli ends up tackled over the line. There's two tries right there.
There's one more. There was Valentine Holmes to Josh Dugan.
Yeah, I know. And then Moylan was in the media talking about how Seggy bombed one, where Seggy went right when he should have gone left.
Oh, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, so, I mean, we had opportunities, and there's some talk out there that the better team lost. What's your take on that?
I thought it was pretty even, to be completely fair. But as I said, I was really impressed with the gameplay by the Sharks. Kicking game was outstanding. Nullified mostly the back three of the Roosters, who have been the best all year. And except for a few lapses, defended really well. The grind was going. The forwards were good. But the grind, Adam, is where we have the problem, because we cannot score on a dime. We can't just click our fingers and score.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I mean, the Roosters, it's weird. They completed at 94% in the second half. However, they were having a lot of trouble getting off their own end. And our defense was turning around and pushing them back, and they were doing a really good job, but the Roosters took their opportunities. And I'll tell you what, it's disappointing, Sam, because we've got the toughest road.
We do. It's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
It's hard without our co-captain and the star of the left edge, Mr. Wade Graham. That's going to be difficult because the guys coming in for him are competent, but they're not as flashy or as attack orientated. You mentioned the completions. We were okay. We were 30 of 36. Our handling errors, unfortunately, we made six. Three of them led to bomb tries, maybe four. But the penalties, my friend, 10-5 to us, against us.
And you don't like to do the whole it's the ref's fault thing. But some of those penalties for holding down in the ruck, for hand on the ball, were not consistent either way.
They weren't consistent with the night before the Melbourne Storm Souths game. That's my gripe.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
We play a similar style. They weren't penalised. We were. Still, the team needs to address that because, again, those penalties were costly.
Yeah, they were. And I think you sort of glossed over some of the drop ball too. Like, I mean, there's drop ball and there's drop ball. There was a six more tackles which counted as a drop ball where Wade Graham, or maybe it was Chad, went in to make a tackle and the ball just bounces off him and they get six more tackles and score off that. That's such... I mean, maybe that's correct in the letter of the law, but
he did touch it. We were all blowing up in the bays, but he did actually touch it.
Yeah, but he was not playing at the ball. It's BS. He's wrapping his hands to make a tackle.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know the letter of the law says that that's six more tackles, but that's...
That led to the try as
that's
well,
BS.
Yeah.
That led to the try. And then Matt Moylan. We hadn't seen this since about round eight. He just drops the ball at first receiver.
Yeah.
And that was a huge pressure valve off, and you saw East's lift big time when that happened. And those errors, it's a semi-final, and we talked about it. And to be honest, Sam, that performance tells the story of the last 2 years. A good team with the capability to do anything stymied by penalties and errors.
Yeah, you're right. That's how we played all year and last year as well. The most disappointing thing, Newman, is that we played good. Whereas other weeks we've done that and haven't played good.
Yeah.
We completed okay. We tackled well. We kicked, as I said, really, really exceptionally well. We made breaks. So if those passes stick, we got the week off, baby. So it's just one of those things. And
it's like in the semi-finals, man. It's an opportunity gone. And now to win the comp, we've got to win three games in a row. We've got to win in Melbourne. And it's likely that we'll play the Roosters or Souths, even if we get that far.
Yeah. Or the Dragons.
Yeah.
Technically. We did mention throughout the year that they would need to start playing complete performances. They didn't give in. They were in it till the end. But I think there must be a mentality amongst the team that they can click their fingers and hold the ball and not make the errors.
100% there is.
You can't
do it.
There's
an arrogance about it.
We've proven this week you can't do it.
No.
Even though it's minimised, it's happened at really, really key moments.
Yeah. And when you're chasing your tail, like we were when we needed to get that try, it's habit. Like, it's hard to break habits. And the habits are poor completions and penalties. And the referees are in the habit of penalising us. And now for us to win a penalty count, that has to go against the grain. So I don't want to write us off.
No, I mean, Penrith is a winnable game.
It's a winnable game. But in terms of the competition, I think it just got so hard.
With the injury to Wade Graham, I'm with you. If he's fit, I think we're still on the hunt. A harder route, albeit. It was deflating because it was so close. We, inverted commas, deserved to win. Just didn't happen.
Rugby league sometimes isn't fair. We don't play. We don't leave Sydney.
No.
You know, you ride that momentum. But again, you know, there is a narrative that the Sharks play well when their back's against the wall. When we went to Canberra in 2016 and all that.
I think this week they'll be very much in that mood. I said it earlier in the week, but usually when Flano comes out in the press conference and says, I'm so proud of the effort, yada, 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 you and I kind of roll our eyes and we're like, yeah, the effort was okay, but, you know. This week, I actually agree with him. The effort was there. They were putting in. They busted their guts. You mentioned Luke Lewis. Okay, bomb try. He was the only one and almost stopped it, chasing Cooper Cronk to block the field goal moments afterwards. So, no one's knocking Luke Lewis.
And I thought our defense was spectacular.
Yeah.
Like when they were bringing the ball out of trouble, we were jumping. We looked like 2016. They were jumping up and out, and they were really struggling to bring the ball out of their own end. And that was led by Matt Pryor.
Yeah.
Again, you know, he seemed to be a different player to what he's been. So
he didn't play too much because he was injured during the middle of the game. He started and came back on. And when he came back on, it was noticeable, his enthusiasm in defense. Let's get to some positives. My boy at the back, let me give you a stat here, Mr. Newman. He ran almost 300 meters.
Yep.
And since the NRL era, it's the second most meters in a finals game. So in the last, like, I don't know, 12, 15 years, Wendell holds it with 300 meters exactly. He had like 289 or something.
In saying that, though, it was a quiet game by his standards. He did a lot of kick returns, but in terms of chiming into the back line, creating headaches for the defense, which is what we need from him, he wasn't.
He made that break and blew it.
Yep.
He forced a drop out. I don't know if he was quiet by my standards. Edric Lee, he basically set up that try. Chad had it on a dime, but he called it.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff.
Great stuff.
We talked about Chad. Who else? Who'd you like in the forwards?
I was loving Wade till he went off. Like, he had them on toast. I love Matt Pryor's effort in defense, leading the charge. And like you said, he played short minutes. Andrew Fifita. Oh. I actually thought that our backs were... It looked more to me like a 2016 performance where the backs were running hard out of trouble. They were taking the road. We had a lot of line speed. So I don't really see a standout in that performance, actually.
In the forwards or in general?
In general.
I thought Fifita had his moments.
He had his moments, but he also gave away penalties and crabbed across field a little bit.
Hooking scenario. What's going on there?
I think they've got it right now. Mm. You know, the minutes, and this is what we asked for ages. I think they've got it right.
Mm.
Seguiaro does those things when he comes on. His defense has been really good. You know, they just couldn't get the points together. Jaden, yeah. I mean, what's your take on him?
I like him there. I don't particularly want Segi to play 80 minutes. Braley is he's solid. He's not going to be flashy in the immediate future. He might grow into it, but he does a job. I think the combination is good with Seguiaro. Comes on, dances a little bit. He can tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he's around next year or not, I'm not sure. There's no news on that. But I think we're leaving out one gentleman, and that is Aaron Woods. He looked pretty good.
He looked good. Sorry, I was grasping for a standout, and he's been good for us for... You know, I haven't seen a great deal of football over the last 4 to 5 weeks, but whatever I've seen... Woodsy, he's a different style of front rower. You know, he backs into the line, but he always gets post contact meters, and I like the way he goes about his business. He offers a different, you know, our front row of Fifita and Woods. I mean, that's nightmare stuff for coaches to coach against. You know, you got
loads.
Fifita with a massive body, big motor, fast for a big man, footwork, and then you got Woods who does backs into the line, makes post contact meters, a lot of offloads, and then sort of Pryor's the third string to the bow, who's more meat and potatoes. I can't think of a better rotation in the comp.
Now he's got a big game this week, Matty Moylan. Where do you think he's at? Oh, we mentioned one arrow; it was glaring, but aside from that, how do you think he went?
He's not my favourite player. I'll admit that. I've always felt, even when he was at Penrith, he's the kind of player that waits for a tiring defence.
He comes in and out,
and then
he
comes into the game.
Yeah.
And I felt that he was doing that, and I just don't think that's the kind of player that's going to win your grand final. Like, the kind of player who's going to win your grand final is more like your Cooper Cronk, Cameron Smith, James Maloney, who's constantly probing, constantly asking questions of the defense, and always coming up with the right play when it's required. And I just don't see that from Moylan. Like, Moylan's going to give you a mad highlight reel. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But when you talk purely about winning a comp, I don't know. I just don't think he's the right guy. But then, like, Gal was talking at length about the swap with Maloney and going, you know, it was perfect. Rather than keep a disinterested Maloney on, he's an upgrade on that.
Yeah, he is. He is. That was some interesting comments from the captain. Timely. We've seen Moylan dominate two matches against his old team this year. We're hoping for a third. We know Jimmy's going to stand up.
Yeah.
So we need Moylan to do the same.
You know who I really liked?
Mm.
The Fexter.
You're back.
I've done a full 180.
He's been very impressive since he came back. Running,
he's even
the
like
back.
Catching bombs.
He can catch them, yeah. Yeah, there was one tricky one out of a few, and I was a bit worried, but he got it. Maybe it's what he needed. He's been in the team a long time. Maybe it was a bit stale.
Yeah.
But he's powerful. Powerful, yeah. And he's playing well. There are people there waiting to take his place, and he's not letting him in, so... He lives to fight another week. He's still got another year with us next year, so you're right. He was an important part last week and hopefully this week again. Anything else you want to talk about the game, Adam?
Yeah, look, I'm just disappointed. I just think that it was a real opportunity lost. I think I'm quite negative now moving forward.
Walking out of the stadium, the flatness was very evident. By the way, I had about 85 people wish me best wishes of getting well and... asked me what I was doing out of bed and stuff. So to you and everyone else who've been spreading my bad news about my health, thank you very much.
Well, everyone was worried about you, Sam. You're a popular guy, unlike other people on this podcast. You're a popular guy.
You were saying you were disappointed in, and now you're not sure about where we're going in the next few weeks.
Well, we're in the unfamiliar. To me, it feels a lot like last year. You know, that really disappointing loss to the Cowboys round one, but that ended our season. Now I got that feeling that we've got a second go. And
which we've earned,
but I just feel like it's so hard. I'll be like, you know, it's just you're in the semis to win the comp, and they've made it really hard for themselves. Tell me this, stats man, has anybody won the comp without getting the week off recently?
I can't say off the top of my head. I can get back to you on it. We've done all that stuff at work. It's possible. It's unfortunate that we're going to go down to play the prelim in Melbourne, Billy Slater's last home game down there, all that stuff, and we're going to be all high and mighty with our chest puffing out thinking we can do it. Whether we do or not, it's another matter. But let's get through Penrith first. Yes. I wish I was quarantined on Saturday night. I saw all sorts of people out at the football, Adam.
Yeah. Disappointing, eh?
It was... hostile environment.
What about the rubbish throwers?
Yeah, I was near that. I saw it.
Pelicans. What are you giggling at, Sam?
The reality of life.
Is that right?
Yeah. The way life comes at you really quick and things happen. And
well, it's a free country, Sam. It is a free country.
For now it is. Got a new Prime Minister. He's a Sharks
fan. We were going to talk about that in the news. So should we cut to a break and we come back with the news?
Sure. I'm sure there's plenty of it.
This is Sharkcast Radio, the true voice of the fans.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes, local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
Found its mark, and now Capewell didn't pass to Wedrick Lee. Now he's thinking about it, he reaches out. And what are they going to say at the end of all that?
And now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. The news, and there's plenty of it to get through. Sam, you touched on it earlier on. We have a new Prime Minister, and not only is he a Sharks fan, he seems to be a legitimate Sharks fan because he's getting some mileage out of supporting the Sharks. It's reported on in the media all the time. And he was at the game, just sitting down from my main man, Albie Tallarico, on the Roosters. Now, I'm...
What's Albie doing here, the Prime Minister?
Well, Albie's everywhere, mate.
Is he? Okay.
Albie's everywhere.
Okay.
His politics, I...
Why are we even talking about it then?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's important.
Why is it important?
Well, it's news in that he's going to increase the profile of the club. You know, and he's national
positively
news
and negatively. Or?
Well, in this instance, it seems to be positively so far.
Yeah, I know. And not everyone has the same beliefs that you and I might have.
Well, I can guarantee you that a lot of people don't have the same beliefs that we do. And
some people don't care about little kids being locked up and stuff.
No, or don't believe in trickle down economics, or think that there should have been a.
But you know what? That's their right to not be into that. You know, that's fine.
Or not think that big business deserve an enormous tax break while penalty rates get cut. But that's beside the point,
Sam. Or push the gut thing.
Yeah. that's beside the point. So...
he was everywhere that week, and he was wearing his scarf everywhere. So that's cool.
Yeah, and he is a legitimate supporter of the club.
I'm not one of those people that just, like, hates and you're a bad man, I'm going to yell at you and throw a hot dog at you. It's like, I'm not a fan.
No, it's quite bittersweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as bad as St. George having Skull as their main supporter.
What about that? What about that?
Other news. Speaking of St. George.
Do we have to?
Ex-St. George player Josh Dugan.
Dugan.
Incredible scenes today. Broke down at the Standard media call when talking about his treatment by the press and the outrage and the online critics and the trolls and... What did you make of that?
I thought it was a very real moment, and I'm definitely on his side. I was brought back to reality when I turned on, I think it was Sky News or something. They just brought up a few things. I was like, oh, yeah, he's been in the...
But what has he done? What has he done? He got kicked out of the Cronulla RSL. He drank cruisers on the roof. What else did he do in 2013?
He broke camp at Origin. And
oh, he broke camp. Oh, and he called... Buzzer Offfield and Michael Luckwit.
Yeah, so, and
mate.
Again, I'm not getting to any of that stuff. My point is, I feel dreadfully sorry that people like him are under that spotlight because they play a sport. And I am one of those people, Adam, that believe they are role models for little kids. But I'm not suggesting they have to necessarily live their lives in an angelic way. And we both know, as our listeners do, that the press do get things and they roll with it. I thought it was a real moment. I love the fact that he talked about the little kid that passed away, because he did do a lot for that family recently. It was on his like social media and stuff. And seeing Josh Dugan so emotional, Adam, it seemed like that would affect the way he plays week to week.
Well, yeah, he was a little bit off. Would you say he was off his game? That was a fair comment.
On the weekend, he was there. He wasn't a superstar on the weekend. Do you think he was off?
I thought he was marginally off.
Okay.
He's been strong, but I also think he's a bit like Moylan in that when the team plays well and wins well, he always looks good, but
yeah.
He comes back to the pack when the team is hard up against, and that's not a slight against him. I think he's fantastic, and I've been a cheerleader for him all year, saying that he's a good player. And I know for a fact that he's frustrated about the injuries.
When Latrell did his thing, and I think we're moments away from finding out what happened to Latrell, the bay I was in of Sharks fans, and of course the Roosters fans near me, they were all giving it to him. And I felt terrible for the guy. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever...
When you say Latrell did his thing, the crusher,
the
crusher or
tackle,
or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. And he was legitimately hurt. But yeah, even Sharks fans near me were just like, get up, dudes. Come on, let's get on with it. You know, other people being not so nice. And it always brings me back to what you and I have talked about. It's like, do you morons really think that he doesn't want to play injury-free? Like,
yeah, I know.
Come on.
And And I actually spoke to a mate of mine who's a diehard Roosters fan today, and he was at the game, and he said that he doesn't like Dugan, and they were giving it to him, and then he's like, then we saw it on the big screen, and we were like, oh,
yeah,
that was bad. Yeah, okay. And it's not like they said, oh, look, sorry, Dugs, but he's like, I felt bad about hazing him at the ground. But, yeah, I did feel for him. I think a big part of it, Sam, I know we got a bit pumped up before, is that he's not articulate or educated in terms of that he can get his point across. And I've seen it with Andrew Fifita as well.
Like, yeah.
He's got a big mouth, Andrew Fifita, but he's not particularly articulate. And he can't articulate a point well in the media. And, you know, I can't sympathise with that because I'm, you know, pretty good with my words, as are you.
You think? You can string them together?
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, to see someone like Dugan who does communicate the way he does, and then today seems so emotional. You and I saw Big Andy at the Monty Porter Awards 2016 break down and cry. It does take you back when you see people that you watch every week be tough guys, have bad reputations, show their human emotion.
I felt for him. I honestly felt for him. And I hope that a lot of the online trolls, you know, those people on social media that think that what they say doesn't have an impact, had a second thought.
Fake accounts.
Yeah, fake accounts, or just saying that, you know, he's soft or he's a coward or he's just, you know, he's a grub or whatever. Yeah, maybe just think twice, because these people are people.
It's like the whole Jerry Seinfeld thing. You know, how would you like me to go heckle you at your workplace?
Yeah, that's true.
I'd love to see that.
That's true.
Dugs walking in just going, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, can't you do that better?
Yeah. How did you get this job? You're crap.
We have signing news.
Go ahead.
The very talented, the very youthful Bronson Jerry.
Jerry.
Whatever.
Yeah.
3-year deal.
Wow.
Joining the first grade squad in the off season. He's not going away with the schoolboys. And Flano's already said if he has a good off season, he'll be in the mix.
Fantastic. And you'd think he'd have to be with the exodus of outside backs that we have. What did we make of the Ramian not playing?
I don't think he's 100% fit.
Yeah. Okay. There's probably a fair bit to that.
Yeah. But having said that, it is a jigsaw puzzle what you do.
Right. Other news. The mighty Newtown Jets, after a shaky old start to the semi-final series, had a fantastic win against... Who did they play? I can't remember.
Mounties?
It was Mounties, yes. Against Mounties. They won by heaps, 50-6 or something like that. And they were outsiders, actually, and it was a fantastic performance. Jaden Brayley, really good. Blake Brayley, really good. Will Kennedy, fantastic.
Now, he's improving every week, right?
Yeah, he is. He's finding a bit of confidence. I never realized. I've watched a lot of the Jets, as you know, and I hadn't seen that sort of speed, so... He did get crunched a couple of times badly earlier in the year, a couple of bad injuries, and we all, in the commentary team, we thought, well, he's not going to be back. And of course, with the New South Wales Cup, you don't get as much news, and then all of a sudden, like, there he is playing with his leg all strapped up. So his injury might have come good, but he's been really good. FJ Flanner Jr. was really good. So the boys are playing 110 on Saturday against Penrith, and Penrith are the benchmark in that competition at Leichhardt Oval. It will be on Channel 9. But
now, this is the grand final of New South Wales Cup, is that right?
No.
It's not.
It's the prelim.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, then there's grand final, then there's the Super League grand final thingy.
Yeah, it's where they play. So they're 1 week in front of the NRL.
Okay, sorry, yep.
Yeah, so they've got two more games to win. They looked really good, and I don't know if they're going to get the likes of Braden Ueli back, but Arva, see you, Manifesto.
Braden's been named this week.
Okay, yeah. So that's good news. And hopefully they can get the job done. And, you know, if they win the grand final, they'll be there on grand final day as well.
The under-20s boys are still going.
They are.
And Coach they're playing on Sunday, I think, at Leichhardt.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In a knockout.
Look, to be honest with you, with everything that's been happening, I haven't been following it that well.
Did you hear that Kyle Flanagan made his debut in NRL?
I did.
And went all right.
Yes, he did go okay.
I was actually pleasantly surprised with his maturity and definitely with his input.
Mm.
So
he's a player. You know, like I said, I watch basically every Jets game, and to me, he's very Chad Townsend-esque. But he also very attention to detail focused. Like whenever somebody makes a break, he's there backing up. You know, he works really hard on his D. I think he's got a big future, and obviously, like, his dad's the head coach. He's got the rails run into the seven job for years. And I give Flano his credit. Like, other coaches would have put their kid in a lot earlier.
You know, there's whispers about where Flano might stay, might go in the coming years, but you'd think almost like the Clearys may become, they might become a bit of a duo, coach and halfback.
Yeah, they might do. You never know. Strange times. I mean, the club's going to look different next year, of course. It's going to look different every year, but the timber around the club will look different, and maybe Flano Senior and Flano Junior will be part of a dynasty moving forward. So, any other news, Sam?
Ben Barber returns the NRL in 2019 for the Cowboys, a one-year deal, and that coincides with a friend of mine who will be off contract at the end of that year. So I think either way you look at it, if both clubs don't bugger it up, Valentine Holmes and Ben Barber, one of each will be at either the Cowboys or Cronulla in 2020.
Geez, Ben Barber's fairly long in the tooth by that stage, isn't he?
He's still got a few years in him, but yes, he's the older of the two.
Yeah, I've also heard that rumour. That's, I think, is people putting two and two together. However, those who I know that are close to the club are saying that Val is gone.
Mm.
He's going to put in a really concerted effort for the next year, you know, the end of this season and the next year, and then go on to do other things in his career.
I have heard slightly different from people, probably different people close to the club, and that is that the fight's not over. And I heard a very cool story about, I think it was Val in the press, talking about his family and his folks getting on and that kind of stuff and a good reason to go home, which I'm not suggesting that's not accurate at all. But I asked someone at the club about the dad in particular, because he said something about his dad. But his dad's a healthy, youngish parent who plays golf a lot and is in great health, which is the great news. I, for some reason, thought he was going home because they were ailing. But apparently, I misunderstood
He's
that.
He's just a shy country boy. You've met him. And
I have met him a few times. Good fella.
You know, and I know the club's pulling out all the stops.
That I am thankful for, yeah.
To keep him, you know.
That I am thankful for.
I probably won't go into the details here, but they're making a lot of exceptions for Val Holmes that not afforded to other members of the squad.
There was something you can say, which it is in the press, and it was a well-known secret around the club, but that is that Mrs. Valentine Holmes has been doing some work for the club. It's in the press, we can say it.
Yeah.
And that is more than warranted because it's to do with something she studied and she's a professional in that industry, yada, yada, yada. But if we look between the pages, they're trying to impress Val. And that's a great thing. Hey, he's the best player in the game. Come on. He's very strongly tipped to win the Dally M Player of the Year.
Yeah, he's a smoky for that.
What
and
about
he's,
that?
He's been an elite player this year. And after what was a relatively slow start to the season.
First game, worst game ever in the history of the world. Up there with Jared Anderson.
Now, Sam, we haven't been doing this for about a month together. We've left out a major news story.
Hmm.
A major news story. Now, you and I,
it's
fair to say, before we did this, we had a long chat.
Yeah.
And you said you don't want the podcast to be about dramas and about personal beefs.
I really don't.
But the salary cap issue.
Yeah,
we've just glossed over that.
No, yeah, I remember that.
Some heart-fluttering moments there where there was even talk that the 2016 Premiership might be tainted.
Well, that was small talk. What I will tell you, Adam, is I've had my ear to the ground where I work, and I think it's not quite over the story, but it is nowhere near other salary cap things we've seen in the past, and I think we're going to be okay.
Well, it looks like we'll get fined.
Yeah, there'll be a fine. There'll be a fine.
But again, the club's in the media for the wrong reasons. And there was that dreadful feeling of, oh, it was all too good to be true.
Well, they did say that there were issues with 2015 and 2017.
Yeah.
And then everyone was poking me going, oh, that, isn't that wonderful that 2016 mm-hmm. was just super?
Yeah.
But as the boss of the NRL has said publicly, all the information they have at the moment, we are okay.
And they have reams and reams of information, and I believe there's been an ongoing investigation. What do you make about the move to self-report? Now, this has been...
what do you think of it first?
Very difficult decision.
Yeah.
If you're Barry Russell and you come into the company, and this quite often happens when a new CEO starts or a new chairman starts, they will put auditors through the company to make sure that there's been nothing untoward. Now, obviously, they've found an anomaly, a discrepancy, extra payment, whatever you want to call it.
They've found 37K, whatever.
Yeah, they've found something which is out of the ordinary. Now, the club doesn't report it, never gets found, because we've been cleared with salary cap audits for those years. So do you just go, oh, call a meeting of the football manager and the accounts team and say, look, we found this. This doesn't happen again. And move ahead, or do you self-report to the NRL, which then gets leaked to the press?
Do you know for a fact, though, in the scenario that you're talking about, is that the only wrongdoing when you're self-reporting, you being Barry Russell? Are you sure that's all it is, or could there be more?
Don't know.
Because if there could be more, I think that's where I go, Baz did the right thing. Because, A, you don't want to be the guy that knew all this stuff.
When you say there could be more, what do you mean there could be more?
Well, so he found one issue from 2015.
Yeah.
And it was a small but illegal amount of money.
Well, it wasn't small. It was...
If he's unaware, there could be more issues elsewhere. Like, say he hasn't got all the facts.
No, the auditors can find it. There's nothing that the auditors of the club that have access to everything that the club's ever done and can interview the people straight off the bat are going to uncover that the NRL is never going to uncover more than internal club auditors.
I'm actually okay with it because sources that I have from the media had already heard whispers about these things at the club, that there was cap rumours and they weren't huge amounts of money, but still they were there. And there were people from the media poking around before it was released. So I'm actually okay with Barry doing it because in the eyes of Todd Greenberg, Barry's a great CEO. He's on the front foot and he's honest. Short-term pain. Well, he's obviously done nothing wrong.
No, I think it's odd though. I think it's odd when the club...
We've had so many issues. Yeah, but remember those issues were from hiding things.
Yeah.
So he's done the opposite.
It's the noble act. And I imagine that he wrestled with it. He had many sleepless nights. It's hard to say whether it was the right move.
I understand the other side of it, of going, I'm just going to put this in the drawer and then set
Well, you don't just put it in the drawer. What you do is you call a meeting internally and say, look, we've uncovered this. This doesn't ever happen again. And whoever did it needs to be disciplined or whatever. I mean, there are other ways to deal with it other than just fully self-report or then just totally like sweep it under the rug. There are elements in the middle. And without knowing what the outcome is, it's hard to say whether it was the right thing. Because if we get smacked with a heavy fine, then we lose competition points or we lose sponsors or yada, 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 then maybe it wasn't the right thing. It's hard to say.
So, yeah, I think Barry's personally done the right thing, but I definitely see other people's opinions on how it's brought on a lot of negative press. But I like the fact that that's the cards he's going to play. He's going to be Mr. Honest from here on in, and bring it on.
All right. Fair enough.
It was a big story.
Let's see what happens. And, you know, it's not over yet either.
It's not over.
We don't know what the penalty is.
I have heard that investigations will continue after the grand final.
Right. Okay.
I don't think the punishments are going to be overly bad.
Is there any other news?
I don't know. I'm looking forward.
You seem rattled, Sam.
I've had a really strange month. I'm not rattled. My throat's rattled, but I'm not rattled. I think that's all the news, Adam. Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavor Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specializes in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavorpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavor Property Services.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. Tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
LGB Supplements is the Shire's number one store for supplements and proteins. They have a wide range of supplements, including proteins, pre-workouts, and fat burners, on top of a massive range of exercise accessories, including boxing gear, activewear, gym gear, and water bottles.
Newman, it's free delivery Shire-wide and a price beat guarantee. Best prices anywhere. 10% price beat. The website is www.teamlgb.com.au. Just again, www.teamlgb.com.au. They're at Shop 6, 10 Waratah Road, Engadine. It's 20% off for Sharkcast listeners.
On top of that, they have friendly, accessible boot camps for all levels to shift those extra kilos. They have them in the Engadine area, and there's a boot camp at Woolooware coming soon. LGB, life's getting better.
To Russell, and Russell has been able to go through. He's put the kick through. How fast is the little fellow? He's leading the race. He'll score, I think. Yes, that's a try. That's a try for certain. Yes, he's given the try. And so it was a clever piece of football by Russell. It was a perfect example of backs at the scrum. If you had a... watch them closely. They could have went out and shook hands.
Welcome back to the show. Normally, we do the letters at this point, but we haven't done the letters for over 4.5 weeks, so it's really backed up. And because we weren't doing them, they weren't coming in. So we're going to just wipe the slate clean. Apologies to those who have written to us.
I'm sure we'll reply to them.
Yeah, we will reply to them, but we just won't address them on because they're kind of old now. And but please write to us again, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. So, we have a big game this week, and, well, it is sudden death. Mm. The unfamiliar...
we could die.
Yes. This is the unfamiliar second week. I can't remember the last time we were in the second week. Can you?
I'll tell you what, my favourite second week was 2002 v. the Dragons at the SFS.
That was a second week, wasn't it?
Mm.
We're in the unfamiliar position of finishing
top
in the top four
and then losing. Yeah,
okay,
sure.
It doesn't matter. What matters
we
is
could
that
die.
We could die.
Or we could live.
Or we could live. And we are playing for a right to play the Melbourne Storm in Melbourne for a shot in the grand final 2018. It's interestingly, Sam, and I knew this before this was written in the papers, that we never, even though we entered the comp in 1967 with the Penrith Panthers, we never have played them in a semi-final.
Did you know that the Dragons and the Rabbitohs are playing the next night have never met in a final either?
NRL level.
They've never played in a final.
Ever?
Ever. The St. George Illawarra Dragons.
Oh, the St. George Illawarra.
The Dragons.
Merged entity.
The Dragons. The Dragons. Entity. And as we know, the Dragons.
Yep, okay.
I'm just stirring up a few of those people online.
The team that decided to throw its history away and merge with the Illawarra Steelers.
Oh,
that
no, we were just saving ourselves.
Yeah. Interesting. We've played Penrith twice this year.
Merlin has smoked them twice.
Yeah. And normally, I don't like that stat. Because normally we play them three times in a year.
We've beaten them the past five matches and 10 of the past 12 since 2011. We do have the wood over them.
Yeah.
But this is... a different scenario.
And their game against the Warriors was certainly a different game to the game that we played against the Roosters, which our game was a really high-quality, bruising semi-final encounter. Theirs was more like a walk in the park.
Well, they were going to lose until RTS went off, and the Warriors went, we can't do this. They were down 12-2.
Yeah.
And they went through the middle, I believe, which is where we might need to go.
But the defense just wasn't there for a semi-final.
No, in that game. They had an easy run, but again, which do you prefer?
Yeah, it's hard to say. A bit of both, isn't it?
Our boys are pretty spent. You
want to be tested, but you don't want to be spent. I don't know about... you know, all bets are off in a semi-final. I think we've got the team to beat them, and I think that we could win and win well, but we've said this almost every week this year, and it's the whole thing. If we don't give away a bunch of stupid penalties and we don't drop the ball a lot, we'll win and win well. But you just know that they're going to give penalties away and make errors.
We've got to shut down Kikau on their left edge, our right edge.
Yeah, you like him, don't you?
Lukey Lewis, Chatty, and who's our right center? Dugan? They're going to have a hard time. They're going to watch that offload.
He is a monster.
He's a talented monster. Throw in Maloney and, you know, they have good... Like, Mansour's really good. They have good outside backs. It's going to be a handful, and we're going to need to score some points, Newman. It's not going to be a 12-10 bruising affair, no. I don't think.
And they can score points in bunches. And we saw that in the first time we played them this year when I think we were winning by about 18 or 20 points with 10 minutes to go and nearly lost. So they can score points in bunches, and we can concede points in bunches. Although we haven't seen that in a while, it's within realms of possibility. Now the real interest story around this is the Maloney Moylan swap, and whoever gets the
is it ever going to go away? Is it ever
It will, I think. Like whoever gets the money in this encounter is to the victor goes the spoils.
You look at the stats this year, season wide. Moylan has the money over him.
He has the money over him. Yeah. That's right. But if Moylan...
Which you don't expect because he's not as a high-profile player. And as you say, he's not always poking away at the defence all the time.
Yeah.
But he's actually had a really good year.
Although Maloney had a bit of a down period too. Like he got back to some of that junk form that he was displaying for us last year.
Early on, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he managed to come out of it. He got whacked beyond belief in one of the most bone-jarring tackles in recent living history.
And then what did he do?
What did he do?
Kick the 40-20.
I know, but
he no, was like pretty, the next set.
He was pretty rattled after the game.
So that's what you want to do.
So let's, you know, obviously they'll test him out. He's a tough little nugget. But that will be the big human interest story.
Now, what about this one? Your man, Luke Lewis.
Uh-huh.
Should he lose? Will be retired by his old club.
That is another piece of serendipity that I did not consider.
Mm.
He's always played really well against Penrith.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're hoping that he's going to continue on for at least two more after this. But interesting matchup.
Let me put it this way. Who's got a better chance of beating Melbourne in Melbourne? Us or the Penrith?
Penrith did it 3 weeks ago. But Melbourne rested a bunch of players.
Yeah,
we do. We've got the game to beat Melbourne.
So Penrith should just roll over and let us go ahead for all those people that don't like the Melbourne Storm. I will be there. Looking forward to a good night out Friday night.
Have you got your tickets?
I got my tickets.
Where are you sitting? Whereabouts?
I don't know. I haven't. My mate just bought the stand. The guy I normally sit with, he went and bought tickets on his members' code.
Yeah, cool. I'm interested in your experience. I had a really negative experience of the game. I just was surrounded by filth, basically, from both sides, and I just thought it was a rubbish night out. Anyway, I thought
so
ripped off.
You're not going on Friday?
I'll probably end up going. I don't have a ticket, but I just felt ripped off by the rugby league fraternity for my $70. And as a...
Oh, you paid $70 for tickets?
Well, I was sitting like on the 40-meter line.
Okay. Who did you go with?
My brother and my young nephew.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a shame that he had to see that.
Yeah, he saw it all right. He wasn't happy either, so... And you know what? It might just be my bad luck sitting in the wrong place at the wrong time. I get that. But, gee, people can carry on a little bit.
Well, I was talking to a mate of mine who works at Guymere Pub, and apparently when Luke Lewis dropped the ball, someone smashed the projector.
Did they see who it was? Did they punish them?
Yeah, security got him and kicked him out and this, that, and the other.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's just like, I understand that maybe sometimes there's booze involved or whatever, but despite what you think, I'm not a hippie. But, geez, do I have to, like, go out and just be abused for a particular coloured scarf or
yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's just it's something I've been wrestling with over the last 4 weeks, Sam, is it's just football. It's just a
it
game.
It is just
it's
football.
It's a folly. You know, it's a distraction. It really isn't important.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but I'm on your side in that argument. It's like people need to calm the hell down.
As long as the team goes out there and gives their best, and I felt like in the Roosters game, even though things didn't go away, they gave their best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's just very difficult to say, and I would like to think that the people of the Shire are going to get out and get behind.
I think
now, it was
will.
Hard to tell on TV. What was the crowd like?
I reckon 60-40 Sharks.
Yeah, so how many Sharks fans do you reckon were there? Like 15,000?
Yeah. Yeah, probably even close to 16.
So that's not even a full Shark Park. Come on, people. Get out there and get involved.
I think now it's do or die. They might do it.
Yeah.
Probably a slightly more winnable game, but yeah, I mean the support was good. Like it was good atmosphere vocally and verbally, and you know everyone was pumped up. I got to ask you this: cast your mind back to the last finals you've been to. They're playing like just rubbish music in the interludes of the quiet times in the matches. So scrum DJ comes on and plays just some rubbish song.
Is that Stephen Ferris?
It's not my boy Stephen Ferris.
But he's the DJ to the NRL.
Okay, I shouldn't use the word DJ. They put on music.
Yeah, but he does the music at the games.
Well, I don't think it's
Stephen. Are we seeing Chris Gale from Fire Up tomorrow?
I'm a friend of Steve's. I'm not rubbishing Steve.
No, I know. But
I'm saying,
but
why is there music on...
He gets given a playlist.
Oh, yeah. But my point is, why is there music on during a match?
This is an interesting point. What song were they playing?
Just lots of rubbish, like stuff I didn't know, some I didn't know. It wasn't like Sweet Caroline or anything like that. It was more just like...
Drake.
Yeah, maybe.
Going to pack a scrum and they're playing Drake.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It was weird. It was off-putting. It was like watching a TV commercial.
I have seen that. I'm just trying to think where I was watching a game.
I didn't care
for it. It might have been a Penrith game. And I was watching it on TV and they're going to pack a scrum and they're playing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Like when the team runs out and beforehand, music, go for it. Or when they score a try, you know. But
no, I'm talking in the game.
No, that's weird. That is weird. All right, Sam. So what's your prediction?
I think Sharkies by 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
You think we're going to do it that easy?
I think the forwards will go through the middle. I think the passes will stick this week.
All right. I think Cronulla will only, if they win, they will only win by a very small amount. Now, I shouldn't say this, but I've got a bloody awful feeling about this game.
Yeah, I do too, to be completely blunt. I say by 10 because I believe they can do it, but I fear the Maloney bite back.
Yep. And I just remember being in Sydney Football Stadium last year against the Cowboys, a game we should have won, and threw it away. And I just hope that we don't do that again. Look, I think if we win, it'll be close.
Yeah.
And my tip is Luke Lewis, anytime try scorer. I think that he always plays well against Penrith, and I think he'll want to exercise the demons of last week. And if he can't, that'll go a long way to saying whether we win or lose or not, I think.
I need the forwards to lift again, even more than last week, and probably Matty Pryor get a few more minutes as well.
I'd like to see a bit more from Val in attacking in the good ball too.
Yeah, I think he might. I think they're the sort of defence that he might be able to have a bit of fortune. Yeah. Don't forget the Roosters actually have the best defence in the NRL.
Yeah, I think he will do more against Penrith than he would against the Roosters. So we'll hopefully see you out there, as we say every week.
Go, Sharkies. Up, up.